Well, thanks again for being here today. It's so great to worship with you all. I did want to say real quick, just a huge thank you to Pastor Jim. I said this to him the other day over the phone, but he has led us through this pandemic over this past year. And yeah, wouldn't want to be led by anybody else. So thank you, Pastor Jim. Well, what a year 2020 was, huh? A little bit crazy. Went through a lot as a world. I want to take a look at some of the events that the big worldwide events that we all kind of felt, some felt more than others. First, well, actually, before the pandemic, we had a couple months of 2020, didn't we? There was no pandemic around in America until March. But first, we had the Australian bushfires. Remember that? 47 million acres were burned up in those bushfires. 40 people died. Now, you remember this one? Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, they left the royal family. That was a big deal. You know how big of a deal that was? I didn't realize until I watched The Crown last month, started watching that. That's a really big deal. It's crazy. This one hit home for me. Kobe Bryant is killed in a helicopter crash. If you're like me and you grew up watching sports and were an NBA fan, I mean, he was an icon. So that one really hit home for me. We have the impeachment trials of President Donald Trump. That really took center stage here in the world for a while, didn't it? Then the pandemic came. Nearly 2 million people have died. We are still hitting record deaths on a daily basis right now. Stock market crashed. Just ignore those 401ks for a little bit, right? And then, sadly, George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, and Breonna Taylor are killed, sparking major protests all throughout our country. Remember the murder hornets? Yeah, they were going to kill us all. Remember that? Look at that thing. That's scary. Then we had the West Coast wildfires. Then the elections. Oh, the elections. They just keep coming up, don't they? And then we kind of ended on somewhat of a happy note with the development of a vaccine for the pandemic, for COVID-19. So we kind of have a light at the end of the tunnel, praise God. So now we've made it, though, to 2021. And you can finally just say, wow, you made it. You moved past 2020. You've crossed the finish line. We just move on with our lives, right? Except for not totally, right? I mean, the fact is we still live in a pandemic, in a world that's turned upside down. We still have racial injustice throughout our country and our world that needs to be dealt with. We still have these presidential elections. And we definitely haven't figured out the whole murder hornet thing, I don't think. I think it's still happening. But the fact is, really, we live in a broken world with broken people. We're all broken people. And it's not going to change until Jesus comes back. The fact is, you're going to face challenges this year. You'll face individual challenges. We'll face challenges as a church. We're going to face new challenges and continued challenges as a country and as a world. Those things aren't just going to magically go away. You know, as I went down this list of events, you probably had some emotions build up inside of you, maybe some opinions that you have. You see, we live in a time in the world right now where I can jump on social media all day, every day, and give my opinion. And I'm going to find people that agree with me, and then I'm going to find people that don't agree with me, and I can just ignore them and not be challenged. I can just block them, right? See, there's these things called algorithms on the internet. And they're out there to keep your attention. So I can do some research on how murder hornets are going to kill us all. And I'm going to be fed more articles on how murder hornets are going to kill us all, right? And put anything in place of murder hornets, hashtag politics, and you can see how we're so divided as a country today. So I've been wondering, what is my responsibility in all of this? What's our responsibility as a church? And I've struggled with this for months now. I've grieved over what I've seen happen in this country, as I know all of you have. But I've kind of come to this point where I'm not sure there's an answer to that question other than God kind of prompting me and pushing me and asking the question, well, what is it that you're listening to, Anthony? What are you giving your ears to? What are you giving your attention to on a daily basis? Because ultimately, we become what we consume, right? And those algorithms on the internet, those aren't interested or even concerned with your spiritual maturity. They're not concerned with your holiness. They're concerned with one thing, and that is to keep your attention. And this is not a sermon as an assault on social media. We're not going to get into that. Just making the point that those things can't continue to keep our attention. So we're off into 2021. Soon it's going to be Christmas again, right? Just got the Christmas tree down. We'll have lived a whole another year. We'll have faced new challenges, some challenges that rolled over. You'll make new relationships this year. Hopefully strengthen some old ones. You're going to make some goals too, right? This is goal setting time. And you're going to succeed at some, and you're definitely going to fail at some. Let's just be honest, right? But the question at the end of the year that I'm going to be asking myself, and I think God wants us to ask, is what are you listening to? Are you going to continue to listen to the algorithms of the internet, or will you listen to the voice of God? Yeah. Lord, we thank you for this time around your word. God, we thank you for your word. And God, that it guides us and gives us insight into who you are, Lord Jesus. Reveal yourself to us today in your name. Amen. So we're going to jump in to some scripture today. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I want to give a little bit of backstory here. You see, Hannah, who is Samuel's mother, could not conceive children. And this was devastating for her. So she struggled with this a lot. She prayed about it. And then finally she said to God, give me a son, and I will give him back to you all the days of his life. And so God does this. And we pick up here at 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And I'm going to read through this whole story, so stay with me. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." So one line in the scripture that I don't think we can overlook, and it comes in the first verse, it says, "In those days, the word of the Lord was rare." And I think it's really important that we view this passage, really God's call on Samuel's life, through this particular lens. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. See, there was no widespread prophetic ministry in the days of Eli. And this tells you a lot about the relationship between Israel and God in those days. Under Moses and Joshua, God's voice, and it was heard often. It really led the nation of Israel. And now under Eli, the nation is hurting without that prophetic word. It's almost as if the value of what God said was negotiable. And in chapter 2 of Samuel, we actually hear about Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and they were bad. They were bad guys. They were treating the Lord's offering with contempt. not allowing the fat to be burned off the meat. And then they were sleeping with women in serving in the tabernacle. And then later in that chapter, a man of God comes to Samuel to tell him, everything's going to be stripped away from you. Your sons are going to die, you're going to die, and everything's going to be stripped away. Doesn't this time sound a little bit familiar to now? I mean, we're living in a culture right now where God's voice is negotiable. And I would say even in some of our Christian circles and Christian communities, God's voice is negotiable. You seek your truth and I'll seek mine, right? And we find our truth in the worst possible places, on the internet, right? We find our truth in what makes us feel comfortable and at ease. So the question you gotta ask is God's voice rare in your life right now? We've probably all had times that is the truth. It has been for me at times. But when we're not seeking the voice of God and we're not living obedient to His law, His voice really can be scarce in our lives and it can be scarce in our communities. And maybe the word of the Lord is so rare in these times because we're spending so much time finding our truth in the worst places. Find them on social platforms or in some sort of relationship that you're in. I think we're listening to the wrong algorithm. I think we're listening to the wrong algorithm, the internet. When's God going to start keeping our interest like the internet does? Because God has an algorithm too. And it's called the Holy Spirit. Now, I say that very much tongue in cheek, so all any of you big biblical scholars, don't yell at me. Because the Holy Spirit is here to change our life and He's here to bring revival to this church and to our community if we are ready and prepared. But we got to be ready and prepared. The more we seek the voice of God, the more we know God's voice. So let's look at the call on Samuel's life for some answers on how to do this. First, it's about your relationship with God. There's absolutely nothing more important in your life than this. In verse 4 and 5, it says, "Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am. You called me.' But Eli said, 'I did not call. Go back and lie down.' So he went and lay down." And this happens two more times. You'll notice before the third time in verse 7, it says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord." See, Samuel didn't know he was hearing God's voice. And why did he not hear that? It's because he didn't have a real relationship with God. He didn't understand and recognize God's voice yet. It says the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. He just felt like he was hearing the voice of Eli instead of the voice of God. And because we're humans, and especially some of us as Americans, I think we're so used to getting things when we want them, that we almost treat our relationship with God that way. And we're so surprised when He won't reveal Himself to us, yet we're not willing to put any of the work into the relationship. The Word says to pray without ceasing. I used to read that and say, well, that's impossible, right? I mean, I am a human. I got things I got to do. But I don't think it's actually saying that I have to neglect my responsibilities as a human. It's actually just saying, bring your relationship with God everywhere you go. So whether that's sitting in your house doing laundry, I love doing laundry. Does anybody else, like just the folding part? Do you like to fold laundry? It's just warm and nice and, I don't know, it's clean. Also, I get to like sit down and just watch football while I do it, so that helps. Maybe that's the part I like, I don't know. But talk to him. You have a prayer list, pray through that prayer list. When you get in the car to go to work, turn the radio off. Talk to God. Sit in silence with Him. It is a two-way relationship too, right? I mean, we need Him to speak to us as well. My main love language is quality time. I don't really care about any of the other ones. Quality time is where it's at. And I think this drives my wife, Cynthia, a little bit crazy. I mean, she likes to spend time with me too, but probably not as much as I like to spend time with her. Well, her love language is something different, so But so she'll be, you know, we'll be at home and she'll need to just get out of the house, right? Get away from the kids and everything. And I'm like, well, can we come? And she looks at me like I'm crazy, like, no, dude, I need to get out of here and like not be with you people for a little while. And I'm like, I get it, okay, but we could just jump in the car with you. We'll drop you off at places, right? And then you can just jump in the car whenever you're done. No, you know, no worries, we'll be your chauffeur. And then she turns around and gets in the car and drives off. And I get it. I mean, hey, she needs her time. It's best for everyone involved if she gets that time, believe me. But I think God is kind of like this too. He wants to spend quality time with us. It's really important to him that he wants to spend the time and be intimate with us and have those be able to speak into our lives in every detail of our lives. The more time you spend with God, the more you'll know his voice. The second thing we'll learn from 1 Samuel chapter 3 is that God will use others to speak to you. After the third time, God calls, and Samuel still doesn't realize who it is. Eli finally realizes, right? And in verse 9, Eli says, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" See, God uses Eli here to show Samuel that he's trying to speak with him. And it's not until Eli finally realizes this, and he tells Samuel, "Go and wait." See, God will use other people in your life to get to you. He'll use other people to get your attention. And I'm sure there's a lot of people in this room that have audibly heard the voice of God, probably in a calling or whatever it may have been. A lot of people in this room have heard the audible voice of God. And I think that's awesome that God still does that today. But he doesn't always do it like that, does he? Sometimes he's a little bit more subtle. Sometimes he'll use other people to get to you, like he did in this instance with Eli. He used Eli because Samuel really needed somebody that was spiritually mature in their faith to show him the way. And it's ironic, right? Because Eli is on the brink of having everything stripped away from him, but God still uses him. There was a time for me in my life where I really needed a spiritual, mature person to speak into me. A lot of you know David Jane. He's our pastor of pastoral care and outreach ministries here, and I had the privilege of working under him for 5 years. It was a great 5 years. I learned so much. But we would go and do these hospital visitations and nursing home visitations, and we would be in the car for hours just driving around to all these places. And there was one time in particular where he kind of started pressing me on my future and what I wanted to do. And he starts asking if I would be interested in becoming a credentialed minister. And to that point, you know, obviously maybe that had kind of popped into my brain because I work at a church, but really it wasn't something I was thinking about. I didn't really want to do that at that moment. But he started encouraging me, telling me, you know, these are some things that might fall under your skill set, and I feel like God has a call on your life. And so I went back and home and prayed with Cynthia, and over the next few months really thought about it and talked to God, and ultimately, obviously, I did that. I became a credentialed minister and shortly after a pastor here on staff. But without somebody like Pastor David, I'm not sure that would have happened, because he was able to kind of push me, and God sort of prompted him in that. Jesus taught us in Matthew 18, 19 through 20, "Again, I say to you, if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." See, we can learn aspects of God's heart that we really can't learn all on our own. In relationship with others, we learn about God's heart for unity, grace, humility, and love, for things we really, really need right now. In fellowship, we encounter people with various giftings, perspectives, and past experiences that can be different from our own. And in community, we discover God's heart to use others for the building up, healing, and sharpening of ourselves. See, you desperately need people in your life that can speak truth and that can speak encouraging words to you, but also people that are in tune to the will and to the voice of God. You need these people. And maybe you say, I don't have anybody right now like that. Well, first off, I guarantee you there's people in this room that would love to be that for you. But also, we have great opportunities here at church with groups here. We have life groups, online, in-person life groups. We have prayer groups. We have mom groups for moms. Just great opportunities for you to find these people. But the point is that one of the most impactful ways God reveals himself is through others. So find your others. The third thing we learn here is that it's about obedience. Obedience is hard, right? I remember as a kid, I was perfect at home. Just ask my parents. Say it. Just kidding. I was perfect at home, and way better than my siblings. Far better than them. But then I would get into school. This is elementary school, maybe a little bit into middle school, and I just had a hard time. I don't know. I just liked to hang out with my buddies and talk and laugh and not listen to anything that was going on. It got to the point where my teachers and even principals were calling my parents, and they were just shocked because I was so perfect. Anyways, the point is, obedience can be really, really difficult, but it's important, and it's really important in your relationship with God. And we can look no further than the difference between Hannah and her son Samuel, and Eli and his sons Hophni and Phinehas. This whole story comes down to obedience to God. Eli's sons were awful. They were disobedient. They completely dishonored God at every move. And Eli didn't hold his sons accountable, basically honored his sons above God. And then Hannah, I mean, she made that promise to God, and he gave her a son. And she gave him back for all the days of his life. And just like his mom, Samuel remained obedient to the Lord. In verse 10, Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Don't we just need to do that sometimes? Yeah. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Yeah. And then listen. At the end of chapter 3, in verse 19 through 21, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. See, God gave everything to Eli, and he and his son's disobedience kept them from experiencing the fullness of life that God had for them and wanted for them. And then Hannah, God blessed her with 6 more children by the end of her life. Amazing. And as for Samuel, the Lord let none of his words fall to the ground, meaning not one of the things Samuel spoke failed. If he spoke it, it came to pass. It means that Samuel was so in tune with God that he continually heard God's voice, just like he did as a little boy. And since Samuel heard God that clearly, Samuel spoke the words of God. As he spoke the words of God, God could move through those words to bring them to pass, all because of Samuel's obedience to God. So God wants a relationship with you, but part of that relationship requires your obedience. In 1 Peter 1, verse 14, it says, "As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance." Meaning, if you have a relationship with God and you've chosen to follow God, then you're not ignorant anymore. You don't have to go to those things. So ask that question: how are some ways maybe you're being disobedient to God? What are some of those passions or things you're holding on to from your past life? And maybe they're obvious sins, or maybe they're just subtle things, but either way, They're keeping you from being in tune to the voice of God and being in tune to what God's will is for your life. You cannot have a full relationship with God without obedience to Him. As we close, I'll have the band come up. You know, it's been a difficult week. It's been a difficult year, especially in our country. Even more than the pandemic, all the other things that have happened politically. It's been a hard, hard time. But I think it's important for us to remember where our primary citizenship should lie, and that's with the kingdom of God. It's not to America. It's not to the Democratic Party. It's not to the Republican Party. It's not even to the Assemblies of God or this church. It's to God and His kingdom. Because first and foremost, you're God's child, right? And you belong to His family. And it's not wrong to belong to those other things. We all belong to stuff. And it's not wrong to have friendly debates on the internet about whatever the political flavor of the day is. But if those things are keeping you distracted, if those things are being held above your relationship with God, then you have to start rethinking these things. You need to start consuming more of God and His Word. You need to get around spiritually mature people who can speak into your life, and you need to obey His Word. I love this passage from John chapter 10. It says, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice." And that word sheep has kind of become a negative term in our society right now. If you're labeled a sheep, they're basically telling you that you're following a person or a cause blindly without using your own mind. But in this instance, John chapter 10, I want to be one of those sheep. I want to be one of his own sheep. And I want to be led by him because I know his voice. It's so easy. And ultimately, that's a decision that we have to make every single day. And I want to challenge you this year as you go through the year that you answer this question every day. Do you want to be led by his voice? Let's pray.